It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Live from Everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, here we go. Coming to you live from the greatest country in the world. Broadcasting from the Tibby famous Fox News headquarters in New York City. It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, a man who did not celebrate Easter by issuing a proclamation in support of Trans Visibility Day. No, ma'am, I did not, but the President of the United States did.
You cannot be serious!
And we're going to get into it on a very chippy Monday episode on the show. We've got a lot of talk heating up around Trump's VP nomination. Trump expected to make that announcement sometime soon.
You're about to hear the greatest speech you've ever heard.
You can't get away from his modesty, can you? And we're going to talk about, my goodness gracious, some damaging new polling for the guy in the Oval Office, as well as a full court press being put on in the media to help the incumbent president get over the top here in the 2024 election.
Biden is such a disaster.
In the polls, he is. 888-788-9910. If you'd like to be a part of this welcome back show, I made it through Montana and Spokane in one piece. Just barely. We'll get into that as well. But 888-788-9910. So really quickly, to pick up the show, just in the control room, do you guys hear me? Well, I just want to understand what's going on. Anytime I see three guys run into the control room, I assume someone started listening to this program and realized it's time to yank me off the air. You see the door swing open in the control room. I'm not kidding. And you're like,
this could be a problem.
But it's my understanding that I believe the patient's going to live. I can't tell. But it's Monday. We are back in action. And we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back after this on Fox Across America.
Don't go anywhere. Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. We'll be right back.
Guys, are you the same guy that you were 10 years ago? Everybody's been there. You wake up one morning, you feel like you're getting old, man. Stuff hurts. What do I do? One idea is to use the powerful testosterone booster in Nugenix Total T because it will revive your energy. It'll power up the workouts, might even put the old fire back in the bedroom. Hey, girl, your old self is back. You'll feel amazing on this stuff. So tap the brakes on the aging process because every day that passes is a day you lose testosterone. That means less muscle, means less energy, and it does mean less get up and go in the bedroom. And are you really ready to lose all of it? The shape, the muscle, the energy. Are you ready to get old? Okay, you don't have to. You can slow it down with Nugenix Total T. It boosts free and total testosterone. It helps you get the old fire back at work, in the gym, and in the bedroom. Nugenix Total T Testosterone Booster with Tesner. It'll help you turn back the clock and re-energize your life and prove it to yourself. Try Nugenix Total T before you buy. There is nothing to lose. Get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T when you text 231-231 and enter the keyword Jimmy. Text now and get a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, the newest and most powerful fat incinerator ever, with key ingredients to help you lose fat and get lean fast. It is absolutely free. Your complimentary bottle awaits. Text 231-231 and enter keyword Jimmy. Text 231-231 and enter the keyword Jimmy.
Texting enrolls you into recurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates apply. Number one doctor recommended brand by primary care physicians based on an independent survey conducted by IQVIA 2022.
There it is, Fox Across America with your radio buddy Jimmy Failla. We came out of the gate today, big Monday. First show back, fired up, ready to go. Little bit of a technical snafu, just so you guys know what happened off the top of the show. We took a quick early commercial break just so we could pull things together. It's a 9-inning ball game. Nobody really cares what you do in the first inning if the final score is there in your favor at the end.
He's a lousy dad, but he's right.
So there it is. We begin our week of broadcasting officially now. The mics are up and running. The sound effects in full effect. I just want it known that I made it back from both Montana and Spokane, which was no small hurdle. I slept maybe a combined 3 hours over the course of this weekend, and I still made it back, and I am in full broadcast capability.
That is a fact check false.
No, it's not, because you don't understand my broadcast standards for myself. I've set the bar low. So in theory, as long as I get a body into this studio, I have met the expectations of most daily listeners.
That's true. That is true.
So there you go. But as we get on the air today, there's a lot to get to. Obviously, people are worked up on the right about Biden's big proclamation that Easter was Trans Day of Visibility Day. And we're going to get into that. We're going to spend a little time in this hour. But there's another clip that jumped out at me this morning. When I was in the elevator, I was on America's Newsroom with Dana Perino and Bill Hemmer, and a shout out to them. But as I was in the elevator going to do the story this morning on America's Newsroom, I saw this clip of Barack Obama that's making the rounds. Obama, of course, doing a ritzy fundraiser in Radio City Music Hall last Thursday with Joe Biden.
I don't remember that ever happening.
But it did. Obama, Bill Clinton, and Biden took the stage for a, you know, veritable town hall that was moderated by Stephen Colbert.
That was absolutely dreadful.
Yeah, it wasn't great. But if you were really sifting through the ridiculousness for things that were worth mentioning, this clip by Obama really does speak to how spectacularly out of touch the Democratic Party is with the everyday voter. But it irked me in a way, and I'll give you why when you hear the full context of the clip. But it's Obama saying that he's on this stage with Biden because Biden cares about you, the little guy, and Trump doesn't.
You are so full of sh-.
Listen to this. This is crazy stuff. And why do I say, it wasn't me saying it, it was, why does Shelley the Machine Levine, that drop is from Glengarry Glenn Ross, why is Shelley Levine saying,
you are so full of sh-?
Because on the day Obama gets on stage and says to the crowd, Biden cares about the little guy, the other guy doesn't. Okay, Trump had flown into New York State for one event. It was to attend the funeral of a cop. He then bought $200 worth of burgers and flew back to Florida. That's what Trump did last Thursday. Biden was in town to make $25 million off elite wealthy donors. You tell me again, who cares about the little guy? Is it the fella going to the cop's funeral or the guy charging people $100,000 to get in?
I think he's got a point.
Yeah, and the point is, Barack Obama is an hole. Here it is, clip two.
And at the end of the day, what you want, not just out of your president, but out of your government, is people whose values are rooted in wanting to make sure everybody gets a shot. And that's who Joe Biden is. And so who is it that really sees you and cares about you? I can't... I'm pretty confident the other guy doesn't. This guy does. That's why we're going to have to fight so hard.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Now, technically speaking, Obama's telling the truth when he says Biden wants to make sure that everybody gets a shot. But by a shot, he means the vaccine or you're fired. No, don't get me wrong. Everybody will get a shot or they'll be out of a job. But in terms of getting an actual shot, guys, nothing is more indifferent to the struggles of the working men and women in this country than leaving the southern border open. Why? Because the southern border and the people who cross it are the biggest threat to the employment prospects of the working class. They represent cheap labor, okay, and they lower the standard of wage for the American worker. So that alone is an indifference to your well-being. When you factor in the fentanyl and you factor in the migrant crime and everything in between, it's an indifference to the well-being of the average American that we've never seen before. Like, understand, as the Biden border remains open, they're getting ready to spend $60 billion protecting Ukraine's border.
Welcome to the Biden administration, home to the new slogan, America Last.
Totally. Okay, the idea that Biden is the guy looking out for the little guy?
Well, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard of.
Come on, Obama. Like, that really, it burnt my balls, man. Because I understand performance art. I understand getting in front of the camera. You know, if you're a politician, they don't have to mean any of it. But there's a level of shamelessness when you're literally sitting in a $100,000 a head get together, telling a $100,000 a head party that you guys should all feel good about yourselves because you're supporting the guy who looks out for the little guy. Can the little guy afford $100,000 a ticket?
The answer would be no.
The answer would be no. Does the little guy benefit from an open border?
The answer would be no.
The answer could be no. Did the little guy, I don't know, maybe the vaccine mandate helped out the little guy?
The answer would be no.
Nope. Didn't block transmission. And you know what else it didn't do? It didn't help small businesses. Made it harder for them to hire. Made it harder for them to get shoppers. But ultimately, in keeping things shut down, as long as Biden did, okay, the little guy got screwed out of an education. Average kid losing up to a year of academic gains. That's a thing.
I love the poorly educated.
But then you talk about the enhanced stimulus that Biden gave out in the name of helping the little guy. What did it ultimately do? It paid some people more money to stay home than it did to go back to work. Ergo, it crushed small businesses because they couldn't hire. And it undermined the self-reliance that people need to actually get ahead in this world. So in the name of buying some short-term approval ratings, Biden just handed all of us a lifetime supply of debt.
Thanks, big government weenuses.
And has the little guy benefited? No. Inflation still high, 3 points higher than when he came in. Gas has gone up 40 cents a gallon in the last month because of our idiotic domestic energy production. Okay, but understand, the one thing that hasn't, honestly, the one thing, okay, that stayed high the most, that bothers me the most, is the pandering. Okay, to get on stage, understand this. A cop has died in New York because of woke bail reforms that let a violent offender out onto the street.
Everything woke turns to
okay, this is a guy with 21 prior arrests, 9 violent felonies. This guy, by definition, should never walk the streets again. But on the day that Trump flies in to mourn the guy and show solidarity for the men and women in uniform, Biden to this day hasn't even mentioned the guy by name, not by name. Okay, let alone spoke to the family, let alone did something in reaction for the cops. Like, think about the Baltimore ship last week. It's a tragedy. Ship hits a bridge on Monday. Biden announces that America is going to pay the bill. Not the insurance company for the boat, not the boat company itself. Nah, the bill goes to the taxpayer. It's a tragedy. This is what we do. We're America. But can Biden actually do any of that for the men and women in uniform who die for your safety?
The answer would be no.
The answer would be no. And why? Because he can't be seen as showing support for the cops, because on their side of the aisle, they want you to believe the cops are the bad guys and the criminals deserve more consideration than we're giving them. That's what they're going with. Do you know the average liberal thinks the cops shoot hundreds and thousands of unarmed black men a year? Do you know how many unarmed black men have been shot this year? Zero. Do you know how many cops have been shot so far this year? 49. Okay, and understand, last year, 16 unarmed black men were shot by police, all of which involved either a violent resistive arrest or an attempt to run down a cop with a car. Does that sound like some type of an indiscriminate killing force that's out to get the black community?
The answer would be no.
No, but the black community is less safe, because the Democrats have peddled this false racial narrative in an attempt to win votes that's made the black community less reluctant to cooperate with the police and has enabled violent criminals. Why? Because if guys aren't going to jail, they're going to commit their violent crimes. And unfortunately, 90% of violent crime occurs against members of the same community. So when you say things like, oh, America's racist, so let a black violent criminal out of jail to prove we're not racist. You know who gets attacked? A black person. Okay, so the Democrats are hurting that community. When Biden gets on stage, he says, Trump doesn't care about the little guy. So give me $100,000 and applaud yourself because you do. Okay, do you realize the level of shamelessness we're dealing with? Okay, I'm a comedian and I dress like an overweight figure skater. I can talk to you about shamelessness. I go on stage and, you know, we were in Friday night, we were in Montana. Just the best people, best crowd. Aaron Flint showed up, local talk show host. It was great. We had all kinds of fun, okay? Fox fans, okay? They're drunk children. You know who you are, and you guys were wonderful. You guys were great. And our crowd, when you get to know us, okay, we're the people that, like, we want to help, but we also realize, and we're kind of in on the joke, okay, that we're all being helped by virtue of the fact that we live in this country. Okay, it's the Democrats who get out there and literally try to win votes by telling you this place sucks. None of them are leaving. None of them are improving any of the conditions that bemoan, but they run on a grievance agenda. But understand, if you're Barack Obama, you're sitting on a stage and you're saying Biden doesn't care about the little guy, Trump does, you don't need another $100,000 selfie. You need a mirror. Because that's buffoon stuff. Straight up buffoon.
Don't be thick, all right?
No, I mean, we are living in the death of shame. Okay, and understand, on a day like today where I've just spent, you know, a weekend doing shows, taking selfies, signing books, hearing people's stories, getting to know them, okay, it really rings to me in a weird way because it's like your brain, it's hard to explain to you what it's like to be me, but it's really awesome and you guys make it awesome. But you'd imagine, like, I've taken 6 flights in the last 72 hours, 6 flights. I've probably shaken, like, you know, 1,500 hands, not counting people in the airport, taken 1,000 selfies, sincerely spoke to everybody, smoked a cigar with some of you. We got our money's worth out of this trip. I'm not complaining. It was a good time. But the point is, like, I am invested in humanity in a way that politicians aren't because they don't have to be. They look at you as votes. I look at you as humans with your own individual needs, your own ambitions, your own bad habits, your own sense of humor, your own misguided fashion sense that often mirrors mine. And it jumps out at me in a way that it doesn't the average analyst. It jumps out at me in a way it doesn't the average political strategist. The average political strategist lacks the self-awareness to know how impossibly stupid Barack Obama's comments were. Okay, you'd think in theory it's a smart thing to say if you're Barack Obama sitting on stage at Radio City Music Hall. I'm proud to support Joe Biden because he cares about the little guy.
Wrong.
Okay, Joe Biden, and I mean this, okay, when it comes to the little guy, he has taken a little guy Viagra because he has the little guy from every angle imaginable. The only time you should hear Joe Biden and the little guy in the same sentence is on Pornhub. I'm telling you because it's true.
What the hell did you just say?
Don't blame me. I think I still have a contact high from the people of Spokane. But they've screwed the little guy at every turn. And their overture to the little guy going forward is not to improve your quality of life. It's to tell you that they're better than the other guy. The other guy's racist. The other guy's going to end democracy. The other guy doesn't care about you. It's just about his own ego. And let's be clear, Trump has quite an ego. And believe me, I told some Trump jokes on my Saturday night show this week, and you didn't all love them.
Somebody ought to belt you in the mouth.
But they needed to be told, because you're not credible if you don't give Trump a hard time for the things he does. But again, I would rather have a president who says off-colored things or tries to cash in on Easter by selling you a Bible with Lee Greenwood lyrics in it than have a guy who's screwing the little guy at every turn imaginable. And that's the point of maybe this second opening monologue of today's show. It's to look the elitists like Barack Obama in the face and remind them all that, good gosh, Obama,
you are so full of sh**. We'll be right back.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon. They're playing Mr. Breeze by Lynyrd Skynyrd. And if ever there was a Mr. Breeze on this show, it is our very first caller of the week who's always on the highway when he calls us. Michael!
Jimmy! Well, buddy, you said this day would come.
Mm-hmm.
I was driving to Florida Saturday night, doing deliveries on Sunday. So, you know, your show just didn't make the to-do list, my man.
Michael. Well, listen, now, to be fair, yesterday was a big day for your family. It's Trans Visibility Day. So
that's right. Hey, April Fools, well, come on.
Oh.
Man, you know I wouldn't miss your show.
Damn. I thought you were really giving, you got me. That's the first April Fools of the day, other than the technical opening of today's show. But stick with me.
I'm glad they got the flames put out in the control room. You know, they got that going for them. Thank goodness. Oh, wow. Now, look, Kennedy, wow, it's so fun having her on your show. She was leading the funny mob, and there was so much comedy flying around that set. It was hard to keep up.
Yes.
That was a lot of fun.
It was good. Honestly, the only demerit I gave the whole show, because I got to see it this morning, is my gold jacket. Once you get past that, it was a winning. That jacket was ridiculous. It looked better off camera than it did on. On camera, I always make fun of my wardrobe, but my executive producer Victor said I looked like the maitre d' at a Chinese restaurant, and I said, and not a good one, and not a good one.
Table for two. Okay, look, entertainment and information all in one spot. I'd never heard about this Trump Bible that you that there
really
was some great jokes there too.
Oh, I hadn't
heard of it. No,
I didn't know you would miss that. So he's selling a Bible, and it's got everything in it. It's got the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, the Lee Greenwood lyrics. You know, it was funny. It was we had fun with it, and like I think you're supposed to. So that was a good time, and.
Rightfully so. You're absolutely right. It's okay to make jokes about Trump. He, you probably made Trump laugh about that.
Thank you. He's a sport. He's a sport. You got to do that.
And then Jesse Waters made another appearance. I thought he might be hawking some kind of hair gel, but no, it was about his book. But I loved his 1980 Chrysler LeBaron story and learned that he was a Grateful Dead fan. Who knew?
See,
who knew?
These are the things you find out on Off the Meter. Now, do you want me to give you some mind-blowing intel about this week's show? I don't normally tell people who's on the show till like Thursday. It's next level. This week we have NFL Hall of Famer Michael Strahan. That's not nothing.
And he
hosts, obviously, I guess, what is that, the Today Show over there on ABC or Good Morning America? Good Morning America. So he hosts Good Morning America.
He's going to hide some parting gifts in that tooth gap, but let's don't go there.
Don't get me punched. He's a big guy. Come on. Strahan is on. Charles Payne is off the meter this week. And then,
fun.
My buddy Kevin Walling is on the panel. And you know who else is on the panel? Jenny Fallon is on the panel for the full hour.
Oh, the spectacular Jenny Fallon. Can't wait, buddy.
She's my most popular panelist. This is what my life has become. So now, my family, you bring them on because it's cute and it's like a novelty. But now they've both kind of succeeded their way onto the show. So I can't get away with having them on once a year. I actually have to book them.
I thought it was because you didn't have to pay them.
There's that.
Or maybe you pay them every day.
Yeah, well, you don't want to know how I got to pay Jenny. Oh, it's not good.
So you undoubtedly terrified a news anchor, a local news anchor there, by driving her in a new Corvette. How did that go?
Oh, did you? Yes. So Rosanna Scotto, she hosts a show here in New York, right? And her deal is Good Day New York on our local Fox affiliate. She's been on the air here for 30 years. So she's a New York institution. And they were celebrating the 75th anniversary. It was a Motor Trend promotion. Motor Trend had brought that Corvette Stingray to the set. And all they wanted was for us to drive it out of the shot. That was the end of her show. So she had interviewed me on her show for about 15 minutes. And then at the end, they just wanted us to say goodbye and drive off, which we did. But once we were off camera, we took that thing for a hard ride. And that's what you're supposed to do.
I didn't know we could get to con- Connecticut so quickly.
Good for you.
Oh, wow. All right, then, snakes in a cab.
Damn.
Obviously resulted in fatalities, I'm sure, because people jumped out of your cab into traffic, right?
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not familiar with the prank you mentioned, but I'm sure it looked great on TV.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Fake news or Florida. Now, that was a winner.
Yeah. No.
And so was Mike Vecchione.
He's good.
I'm not familiar with him, but he's a funny guy.
Yeah, listen, we have a lot of in New York, there's a lot of great comics that the world hasn't heard of, but the world should hear of because they're that good. And oftentimes the difference between, you know, being really great and being really well known is just exposure. You know what I'm saying? You know, some guys get a sitcom, some guys wind up on a show. So that's why I'm trying, if you notice, a lot of the comics you see on my show, you don't see on Gutfeld because I'm trying to give new comics a chance. Like Gutfeld is obviously giving a lot of comics a chance, and I'm trying to give other comics a chance because it's the coolest thing about having one of these shows is you can use them to help other people. You dig?
You probably remember back in your day how something like that, how that could have helped your career.
Yeah.
I imagine you're paying it forward.
Definitely.
So there you go.
Think about it. If I could have been doing the Tonight Show instead of spending all night going to the airport with drunk passengers in the back, God knows where I'd be by now. But I'm in a good place.
And a quick question.
Mm-hmm.
You said there in Snakes in a Cab and by the author of Follow That Car.
Oh.
What was that in reference?
So you don't know this. Before I worked at Fox, I actually wrote a book about the time I spent driving a cab. You would love this book so much. I don't promote it because it's not a Fox book, but you can definitely get the audiobook on Audible right now as we speak. It's called Follow That Car.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, A Cabbie's Guide to Conquering Fears, Achieving Dreams, and Finding a Public Restroom. And if you wanted a fun fact, the book was actually published by the late, great Charles Osgood, who hosted CBS Sunday Morning.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, wow. I love Charles Osgood.
Well,
I remember seeing him my whole life.
Well, he met me when I was a cab driver, really liked me, and wanted to help my career out. So he published a book by me in 2014, but he started his own publishing imprint because, as he famously said, he goes, "I don't want any of your content anywhere near mine." That's what he said. But great guy.
That's excellent.
Well,
Follow That Car.
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to find it, buddy.
You'll get off the phone and find the audiobook in a second, and it's going to blow your mind because he voices it with me. It's outrageous. Like, it's really outrageous.
Let me tell you, the 10-year trip to 10-year younger Jimmy Fallon, that was kind of cool in itself.
Yeah, because that was my real cab. That was me in my actual cab. So that's hardcore. You guys have the highest security clearance in the world. But I'm glad you liked it. I'm glad you made it. And yes, happy Trans Visibility Day to your family.
Thank you so much.
You're the best, Michael. I'll see you soon, brother. Have a great week. There he goes, the great Michael. The great Michael, who is on the road down in Georgia.
Get him out of here. Get him out.
Michael, if you're new to the show, likes to give a review of Fox News Saturday night every Monday. And we want him to give that review. He's always super funny. But it's also a reminder to everybody listening that the guy talking to you hosts a Saturday night TV show where you're all welcome. It's not, it's not a partisan food fight. We're not trying to win elections. We're actually trying to give you good old-fashioned comedy. Good, because that's the era I came up with, okay? And it's something that I've always held near and dear to my heart, is that if I ever got one of these shows, yes, I was going to drive it like I stole it, but I was also going to very much follow in that Johnny Carson mindset. Here's an old clip of Carson.
Do you get sensitive about the fact that people say he'll never take a serious controversy? Well, I have an answer to that. I said, now, tell me the last time that Jack Benny, Red Skelton, any comedian, used his show to do serious issues. That's not what I'm there for. Can't they see that?
But you're not...
Why do they think that just because you have a Tonight Show that you must deal in serious issues? That's a danger. It's a real danger. Once you start that, you start to get that self-important feeling that what you say has great import. And you know, strangely enough, you could use that show as a forum. You could sway people. And I don't think you should as an entertainer.
Good for him. Okay. And that's the greatest guy to ever do it. That's Johnny Carson. That's like the actual industry standard for television talk show hosts. saying you should never use your show to try to influence elections. And he could see where it would be addicting, whether it would give people a staggering sense of self-importance. But the most important thing, if you're listening to what he's saying, is it would deny the audience what they came to the show for, which is escapism. Okay, the reason we hate each other so much as a country is there's no off-ramp anymore to the confrontations. Okay, the Hollywood award shows are political. Your sporting events are political. Everywhere you turn, there's a reminder of our disagreements. And the reality is we treat disagreement as a toxic thing in this day and age, when the truth is America was not built on agreement. America was built on disagreement. We just had the ability at the time to realize disagreeing didn't mean you were the Antichrist and we could never speak again. Disagreement meant, hey, we do have some ideological differences. This is why we're going to draw up a series of checks and balances that will keep one side from trampling the other when they get into power.
When you're right, you're right, and you're right.
That was the whole point of the Constitution. I say it all the time, you know, that the whole, you know, Constitution wasn't drawn up so Republicans could fight Democrats over who controls the government. The Constitution was drawn up so the government doesn't control us.
What can I tell you, kid? You're right. When you're right, you're right. And you're right.
But you understand, okay? What's going on now is late night talk shows are trying to aid and assist the government in its attempt to control you. Straight up. Okay, listen, we all know now the greatest conspiracy theory of our, well, not the greatest conspiracy of our lifetime was probably that Russia controlled the United States government.
It was made up by these sick people.
But think about that. Every time they tell you the rights, the party of conspiracies, the left literally told you Russia controlled our government. Like, we don't know. Think about that. They literally told you, okay, we don't have control of our government. Russia's now in charge from the Kremlin. They told us that with a straight face for 3 years. Beyond clown, okay? And then, of course, the biggest obvious vaccine conspiracy theory I had ever heard is there was a group of people that said if you got vaccinated, you could not get COVID. Okay, biggest conspiracy theory of my lifetime. We actually fired people from their jobs for not getting vaccinated.
Not getting vaccines. It's time to start shaming them.
Because frankly, we know that we can't trust the unvaccinated.
F their freedom. I want my freedom to live.
No, screw your freedom. You're a schmuck for not wearing a mask.
We have to stop coddling the morons who will not get the shot.
Shame on you.
Think about that. And more specifically to the Carson point, here is a guy like Jimmy Kimmel. Okay, don't ever forget for a second, Stephen Colbert did a dancing infomercial with Pfizer vaccine needles to champion the vaccine. Don't ever forget that that went on. Stephen Colbert did that.
This guy's a serious ass.
Literally a dance video with the vaccine to encourage you to get vaccinated. Jimmy Kimmel used his late night talk show to say we should let these people die.
Dr. Fauci said that if hospitals get any more overcrowded, they're going to have to make some very tough choices about who gets an ICU bed. That choice doesn't seem so tough to me. Vaccinated person having a heart attack? Yes, come right on in. We'll take care of you. Unvaccinated guy who gobbled horse goo? Rest in peace, Wheezy.
Wow. I mean, seriously. These are late night talk show hosts. I mean, flat out using their show to shame the people who disagree with them. It's the antithesis of what late night's supposed to be. Late night is the end of the day. Show's over. Everybody's worked their day, read their headlines, digested their news. They've won the day. They've lost the day. It's a place to laugh and shut out the lights. That's what late night is supposed to be. Sadly, late night happens 5 nights a week with very few options to do that thing. Okay, Gutfeld will give you that. And to his credit, he does. And it's a fun show, but it's in the middle of the 24-hour news cycle. So there's obviously a lot of politics and some that half the country won't agree with. And I can see the point. Because we are on a Saturday, we are uniquely positioned to really be out there on our own little barge in terms of, you know, not being stuck in the middle of the breaking news cycle. And so we kind of have the liberty to pick and choose a little bit more as to what we want to cover. And I'm so proud of the fact that we're using it to provide you with escapism because nobody else wants to anymore. And it's bad, you know, because we're sitting here in a place where even in real politics,
nobody talks anymore about the issues.
No.
They simply just, this man is for toxic drinking water to kill your children. I mean,
straight up. And the saddest part of it all, okay, is that now that summarizes comedy as well as politics.
And I'm out here in the real world and I know what's right or wrong or bullshit.
You're listening to Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
A very inventive, troubled comedian.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Here is Joe Biden introducing the Oyster Bunnies at the Easter Egg Roll.
We have a president that is clearly not all there.
Give it a listen, clip 11.
God bless you all. Enjoy the day. And I'm coming down to do that Easter Egg Roll in just a minute. Thank you all so very, very much. Thanks, everybody. And by the way, say hello to Oyster Bunnies. Come on up, bunnies. Get up here so they can see you.
Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
Say hello to Oyster Bunnies. Can't give you the points on that one, unfortunately. Biden's a mess. There's a poll we're going to get to in this show today. This is a fascinating one. Whoo, daddy-o. I mean, man. Okay. There is a poll. It is, that 38% of likely 2024 voters believe the president will be alive at the end of his second term.
Come on, man.
Okay, so forget about can he do the job. Only 38% of the voters even think the guy will live to the end of his term.
That man belongs in a nursing home, not in the White House.
Now, you don't know how fate's going to deal cards. Okay. But now you've got a president who not only has to sell people on the idea that he can do the gig, which no one believes based on the conditions in the country, but he's got to sell you on the prospect that he can live to do it. Because if he doesn't live, and 62% of Americans essentially don't think he will or are not confident that he will, that means at some point the next term will result in a president, Kamala Harris.
No, God! No, God, please, no! No! No!
But that's why we're in such an all-hands-on-deck scenario. You don't normally roll out Clinton and Biden and Obama onto the same stage till the month before the election. But they're busting out now because Obama knows he needs all the help he can get, and Clinton wanted to meet the Rockettes.
Live from Everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, girl, here we go. Here we go. Back in action for a big hour of Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Coming to you live, of course, from Fox News headquarters in New York City. There were some people who had some doubts. They said, no way Jimmy can get through Helena, Montana and Spokane, Washington and live to tell the tale.
Wrong.
You lost money, girlfriend. We did it. No thanks to the fans who were quite rowdy Friday night. And Saturday was a little tamer, if only because I had 2 hours between the meet and greet and my flight out of town. It was a banger. But we are back on the air, ready to rumble. We've got, Wesley Hunt is coming up in this hour to talk about Donald Trump's vice presidential hunt. And we will, of course, have a word with Jason Chaffetz. The last time I saw Jason Chaffetz, he was filling in for Sean Hannity this last Friday night. What happened to me Friday night, just so we're all on the same page, a page where you're all welcome to weigh in, 888-788-9910. Let's properly set up the hour, Jimmy. You don't want bad fundamentals. If you get that wrong, Levi May will email you telling you got to come to an intervention. That's a whole to-do. He knows what I'm talking about, but we love him. But as we get underway in this hour, woo! Okay, Friday night, I'm supposed to do Hannity before I go on stage at the Helena Civic Center in Helena, Montana. And the way to make that possible is to either A, send a satellite truck. So you get in a satellite truck and, you know, they throw up a pretty background and you do live TV. Or you B, connect via your laptop. You can Skype in. We have all kinds of high-end technological capabilities. And thankfully, they worked because you're talking about the longest running primetime show in the history of cable news. You don't have to worry about their end, but you do have to worry about mine.
Correctamundo.
So it wasn't until I was on live TV Friday night. Again, understand that I'm doing this TV hit, okay? Mountain time. So I'm chiming in on the very last block of Hannity that will end. At the precise moment, the house announcer says, please welcome to the stage, Jimmy Failla. And I will close my laptop and run onto the stage at the Helena Civic Center, ready to rumble. Here we go. That. So far, so good. Connections established. Laptop is open. The lighting is proper. The only thing no one factored in is that Jimmy sometimes dresses for stand-up comedy differently than he might for a hit on the Sean Hannity show.
That can't be good.
In this case, it was not. If you have not seen this hit, I'm wearing a Scully shirt. I do love a good Scully Western shirt, but this is like a turquoise shirt with two like turquoise horseshoes with red roses intertwined between them.
That was embarrassing.
It was not embarrassing. I stand by the shirt for stand-up comedy. But as it pertains to the Sean Hannity show, I'm not apologizing. This is not me apologizing. This is just me demonstrating enough self-awareness to acknowledge that I wouldn't traditionally do that on Hannity of all places. Hannity is a jacket show. Jacket t-shirt, jacket open collar show, you win. But you're really not technically supposed to show up like a guy who works children's parties that looks like he shouldn't be allowed around children.
I admire your honesty.
But that is what I look like. I look like the cowboy from Parenthood, if only he wasn't allowed to be hired in the movie Parenthood.
Bingo.
So it was a funny moment, and it led to, I think contributed to anyway, just some crazy all-around energy that carried us through the bender of all benders this weekend. But as we're back on the air now, and it is Monday, okay, and we are in New York against all odds. Okay, the big news politically, and it's, you know, kind of scattershot. You know, there's a lot of Republicans mad at Biden for declaring yesterday National Trans Day of Visibility. Now, to be clear, that's a, I guess I, you'd call it a holiday, like a calendar reminder. It's not a holiday per se that we've acknowledged nationally, but it's a calendar reminder that's been around for 15 years. Now, Biden has acknowledged it in the past. This was the first time he did it on Easter. And as you'd imagine, it rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, if not because, let's be very fair, there's a double standard when it comes to the Christian faith that doesn't apply to any other faith. Okay, if you, at the beginning of Ramadan, declared, you know, a happy national I like boobies day. Okay, if that's what you did, the first day of Ramadan, it's also I like boobies day.
Hubba, hubba.
But the point is, people would be very outraged. If you were celebrating anything other than that religious faith, people would claim you were bigoted, you were a hate monger. If you did this at the beginning, maybe not Hanukkah, you could probably blaspheme the Jewish community because nowadays they don't fire you for that. They put you in Congress. They're like, oh, you support Hamas? Oh, no, hold on a second. We've got a district opening up right now. Come join. You can campaign with AOC.
AOC is a dope.
But the point is, there is a double standard when it comes to most religious faiths, specifically in this government where Biden and the White House issued a rule that kids attending this year's Easter egg roll were not allowed to include religious symbolism or references of any kind on their Easter eggs. Now, to be clear, that's like saying you can make a poster for the 4th of July, but it can't include the American flag or anything to do with patriotism. Okay? Hello? It's the whole frickin' point of the holiday.
Oh, you're right. And when you're right, you're right. And you're always right.
Okay, Easter, the resurrection. He is risen. Okay, with all due respect, it is not she is risen. although technically she could, because these days she can often be a he when it comes to what we're talking about.
What the hell is the world coming to?
I don't know, but understand that there are people on the right bothered by this because they do rightly feel like, you know, a guy who fancies himself as Catholic Joe also supports abortion up until the third report card, is also slighting Easter, either the first biggest day in the Catholic faith or the second, whatever you want to call it, 1 and 1A. Okay, but he's now saying Easter does not technically headline yesterday's festivities. Easter is now the co-headliner in this instance.
It's people with a dirty mind that think like that.
I don't know, but the point is, people on the right,
I'm sick and tired of all this bullshit.
And I hear them because they feel like all of the tradition in this country, especially as it pertains to their religion, is under attack. Now, people on the left would have you believe it's the other way. This is just the right trying to stir up trouble. They don't understand. So you're hearing that argument as well. Okay. But here is Dana Bash on CNN. And I want you to hear Dana Bash trying to offer her viewers clarity. Okay. And then I will respond. This is clip 12.
Republicans are attacking President Biden for recognizing today as Transgender Day of Visibility. I want to be very clear. This day, this Transgender Day of Visibility, is always on March 31st, has been since 2009. This president has marked it every year since he's been in the White House. The date of Easter changes year to year. I don't need to tell you that. The House Speaker called Biden's announcement abhorrent and said he betrayed the central tenet of Easter.
CNN is the worst.
Now, to be clear, okay, she's right in saying they've had this as a calendar marker since 2009. But has CNN acknowledged this every year since 2009?
The answer would be no.
No, of course they haven't. Okay. In fact, this was the first year they've acknowledged it since 2009. And it also happened to occur on the day when it coincided with the religious observance of Easter. Easter, which if you read the Bible, okay, does include passages such as God created man in his own image, that of a man and a woman.
Tell them like it is.
Okay, if you observe the teachings of the Bible, okay, then you're kind of on the Mr. Rogers side of this argument.
Boys are boys from the beginning. If you were born a boy, you stay a boy. Girls are girls right from the start. If you were born a girl, you stay a girl and grow up to be a lady.
Now, that's what the Bible would teach you. Okay? It being America, do whatever the hell you want to your body, I believe. If you're over the age of 18, I mean, that's the whole point of living here.
Freedom!
But understand, there's no other faith that would be asked to tolerate what they believe to be a denigrating of their religious faith. The only faith that continuously gets asked to carry that load is the Christian faith. That's the only one. Okay. And yes, obviously the Jewish community has a lot of support on the right and has a fleeting level of support on the left, as they know it's kind of toxic to Biden's reelection chances to support Israel because he's got such an overwhelming amount of anti-Semitism in his party. Okay. That's a reality that they face. I mean, you know, when you talk about what's going on in the White House right now, okay, you talk about a Biden that has historically low poll numbers that has started to waver on his support for Israel, if for no other reason than because you saw primaries in places like Michigan where they didn't turn out and vote for Biden because they wanted to, they claimed he was committing genocide. He was committing genocide in Gaza.
You're not telling me the truth.
Okay, they're not committing genocide. It's not an attack on the Muslim faith. There are 2 million Muslims living peacefully within Israel. They don't have a problem with Islam. They have a problem with terrorists.
He knows what he's talking about.
Okay, and that's the situation with Hamas. They are terrorists. So you understand that when you start to look at this through this lens of which religions are safe to support within the Democratic Party and which ones are not, it is not safe to support the Christian faith in the Democratic Party. It is not year-round safe to support the Jewish faith in the Democratic Party. Okay, they'll slander them at every turn. Okay, they're always going that other route. And that's why people were bothered. And they have a right to be bothered. Okay, and the reality is, when you look at the news cycle today, it would seem like a superficial thing that this is dominating so much of the discussion. You know, that there would seem to be more consequential issues playing out in real time as well. Okay, you've got, you know, a former top general telling us that an ISIS attack in this country, similar to what we saw in Russia, is imminent because of the wide open southern border. We've let 10 million people, not we, Joe Biden, has let 10 million people into the country.
You have no idea how to defend a nation.
But that's one of the other reasons why this vice presidential race for Trump, and that's what we're going to get into in the next break, is so consequential. It's because there's really only one side that's running on the real problems facing this country. Okay, like securing the border is a real problem facing this country. Lowering crime, real problem facing this country. Okay. Slighting Easter is not a real problem, but the Democrats want to make those gains because by slighting Easter, they know they're going to get pushback, at which point they can label the Republicans as extremists. That's what they do. This isn't about deliverables. Okay, Joe Biden ran on in 2020 on this is a battle for the soul of our nation. How the hell does that pay a bill? How does it keep your family safer? How does it get you an education? How does it secure a border? The answer is, oh yeah, it doesn't. But when they get out there on a day like Easter, a high holy day, and they ask it to now take a step back and not be the headliner. Easter now is, you know, it's a dueling event this year. Okay, it's going to bother people. But more importantly, it really speaks to who the Democrats are. They're trying to create that division. They want to be able to go, right-wing extremists hate trans people. You heard them say it on Twitter.
Democrats are so full of crap.
But they have to be. That's the issue. They have to be because that's all they can run on in this moment. So when we get into this VP thing, which I want to do really quickly when we come back, understand it's not about who you like or who I like. It really is about who is best positioned to push back and force a substantive conversation. Because if the 2024 election is about whose policies are the best for our country, then every Democrat is screwed.
You are correct, sir.
Critics are calling it the funniest show on the radio.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, maybe.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
I almost had it.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. We're talking to Wesley Hunt in the next break, but Gary is checking in from WVMT territory in Vermont. Gary!
Hey, Jimmy, you know, sure, Biden's a little confused on the meaning of Easter, but what do you expect from a guy that can hide his own Easter eggs?
Oh, no. Good for you. But then the question becomes, can he still find them or no?
No, you know, he hides them and 5 minutes later he's out looking for them and he don't know where they're hid. So you know, it's fun to watch. I mean, if nothing else.
Oh,
but
Gary, what a mess, huh?
That's why they train the cameras away from him during the Easter egg roll.
Oh, no. Well, listen, this whole idea, man, of what they're – especially what they're doing this year on Easter, you know, he's losing the country. Like, they might not know that, but they are losing the country. This is insane. Obama's saying, you know, Biden cares about the little guy, but Trump doesn't. Trump's at a cop's funeral. Biden's charging the little guy $100,000 to get into Radio City. Does that not strike you as a little off?
Yeah, and you know, as far as the whole Easter thing, did it occur to any of them to just say, oh, crud, we made a mistake, sorry? Would that have been so hard?
No, they don't have that in them. Come on, man. The only thing hard was the women celebrating Transgender Day of Visibility.
And it would have all gone away if they had done that. But now they got to make it a big issue.
They're the worst. Gary, you still got it. Funny stuff. I'll see you soon. Got it. I'm loopy. You got to get me off the phone with Gary. He's not a good guy to have me on the phone with right now. You need like a serious caller. You know, one of those people who thinks I'm saving the country.
Are you stupid or something?
If you believe that, yes. I'm not here to save the country. I'm just here to lower the temperature and keep everybody cool. Remember Pulp Fiction where he's like, tell her, say, be cool, bitch. You know, that's me. Be cool, bitch. That's it. That's all I'm doing. Trying to keep people cool so we can have, you know, like an honest conversation about our politics, about the issues facing the country, because you need that once in a while, you know? You just need some good old-fashioned human interaction instead of people just howling and screaming like, you know, fat, spoiled children. Mom! He doesn't agree with me. I want him canceled. That's what's going on now. But when it comes to the vice presidential push, okay, the one thing I would tell you over and over and over again for Trump, because this is the new standard operating procedure on the left, is to take them out at their grievances. I'd do everything I could to have a minority vice president. If it could be a woman too, great, because you're going to take away two lanes of attack. But the biggest thing they're going to need is a communicator, because the left is going to run on everything except the issues. And nothing forces a course correction better than a communicator. Now, Trump is an effective communicator in that he can be funny and in that, you know, he has absolutely positively no filter whatsoever. But from time to time, as you know, that takes him off the rails. If he has somebody who's policy oriented and communicates as well as he does, it's really going to be a game changer for the Democrats. And I think they know that. Which is why if Trump goes with, like, just another white dude, nobody cares. But if there's a really super smart minority...
Uh-oh, I'm in trouble.
And I do believe the Democrats know that. So it'll be interesting where this goes. We'll talk about it with Wesley Hunt next. It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon. Fired up to talk to this next guest. I mean, he's a superstar representative in Congress. Now, to be clear, if I was running for president, this guy would be my vice president. But if I was running for president, I'd never pass the background check. So he wouldn't have a chance to be my VP. But I'd certainly get out there and stump for his campaign. Wesley Hunt, Representative Wesley Hunt, back on the show. Hey, man.
How you doing, brother? Happy Easter to you, brother.
Oh, you got to understand where we're at in our friendship hunt. So I was just in my regular Monday morning pitch meeting for my TV show.
Yeah.
And I was telling them, I'm like, we got to get Wesley Hunt on. You got to get Hunt on the show. They got to reach out.
Yeah.
And you and I have discussed this in the past.
You know what to do.
I don't know.
You know what to do.
Yeah, I know. But I don't know where to mail the case of whiskey and the topless photo of my producer. You told me. I'm kidding. and I got to be honest, he's not as good looking as you think he is. I'm kidding. Hey, the jokes. Oh, don't you play dumb on me, Hunt. I kid.
You're amazing.
The jokes are flying on a Monday. Did the Hunt family have a wonderful National Trans Day of Visibility?
For you know. The Hunt family is apoplectic about that gaslighting tactic. And so in our house, it is strictly He is Risen. Happy Easter. This is the most important holiday of our existence in this country. This is the country where we put God first, and we have to ignore the shenanigans and focus on the importance that He is risen. And we had a fantastic Easter weekend. I got to spend it with my kids. My son's name is Willie, after my father, and watching my 74-year-old dad hold him on Easter Sunday, to me, man, it gets no better than that.
No, I agree. But the truth is, I didn't see my dad on Easter yesterday, but I wouldn't let him hold my kid, because the way my dad drinks, I don't know, that would work out well for the kid.
Maybe it's better.
The last guy I'm handing my baby to on a holiday is smoking Joe Fela. I'm just telling you because I care. Man, oh boy, that's where there's a fork in the road.
You love your children too much.
Thank you. That's funny. But don't you think, this is like my point of this, is that the only faith they would do this to is the Christian faith, the Catholic faith. They wouldn't do this to any other faith on a high holy day, would they?
Of course they wouldn't. And again, they're gaslighting us. Now they're trying to walk this back by saying things like, well, it's every 31st of the year, and blah, blah, blah. It just so happened that it falls on Easter, or next year it won't fall on Easter. That's a bunch of crap. We know exactly what you're doing. We see right through it.
Yeah, it seems a little off. But that's what they want to run on, because I think there's this part of me that they know something like that will get pushback, which in a weird way, they like that because they label it as some type of like radical, you know, hatred. You know what I'm saying? They don't characterize disagreement as anything other than hatred. When in theory, we're not expressing a hatred of the trans community. We're just demonstrating some ownership in our own faith. Are we not?
That's all we're doing. And brother, I've been on this earth for 40 years. Prior to the Biden administration, this would have never happened. So for 36 to 38 years of my life, we've never seen anything like this blatant disrespect for this holiday that's so important to the Christian faith that it cannot be denounced.
Yeah.
You can't act like you didn't know what you were doing.
Yeah.
You knew exactly what you were doing.
Yeah.
Like, stop gaslighting us.
No, and I agree. We're talking to Texas Representative Wesley Hunt. And I tell my friends of the Jewish faith to expect something like this come Hanukkah, because he can't afford to be pro-Israel right now because he's got so much Hamas support in the Democratic Party.
It's a shame, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you know what I always tell people every day? You know, our party has our issues, and yeah, we've gone through a speaker, and now we have another one. We have a now one-seat majority. But you know what? Our differences pale in comparison to the Hamas caucus on the Democrat side.
Yeah.
I would much rather be bickering over what we're bickering over in the Republican Party than even have discussions on the left as to whether or not we do or don't support Israel.
Yeah.
Trust me, give us our problems every day of the week and twice on Sunday.
No, there it is. And as we say all the time, you can't let perfect get in the way of better.
Correct.
Pretty much anything's better right now when it comes to what we're talking about. But I am looking forward to that Hanukkah tweet wishing everybody a happy Two-Spirit Goldfish Day. Whatever.
Happy Orangutan Day.
Whatever the hell they're celebrating. It's coming. Oh, it's coming. And you know it's coming.
I just laugh.
And one other thing. So this one really got me today, Hunt. This wasn't even in the rundown for today's show. Okay, but I was in the elevator this morning and I saw this clip. So last week, Biden did a fundraiser, $100,000 a head fundraiser at Radio City. And he's got Obama there stumping for, you know, Biden. And of course, Bill Clinton's there at Radio City because he wants to meet the Rockettes. You know how that works.
Of course he did. We all know why he was there.
The only guy who shows up to a charity event and asks people to donate in singles. You know what I'm saying?
So he can make it rain.
Yeah, it's a different.
Leave afterwards and make it rain.
Yeah, it's a make it. It's a fun make it rainer. Yeah, it's funny.
Right.
It's funny. So I'm laughing, but anyway, Obama it elicits applause from a crowd because he says to them, you know, you got to focus on who people care about. And Joe Biden is a guy who really sees you and cares about you. I'm pretty confident the other guy doesn't. Now, he says this on the very day that Trump has flown to New York to attend the funeral of a cop. And Biden has flown to New York to charge $100,000 to get into an event. Like, is there any world where you could be more out of touch in that moment than Barack Obama was? Because I don't know how many little guys had 100K to get into Radio City last Thursday.
You know, that was a great day for President Trump all around. Because on that moment, we were able to show the contrast. And even watching Governor Hochul being dismissed from that funeral while President Trump was welcomed with open arms. And afterwards, priests were talking about how gracious and how kind he was and what he wants to do to prevent this from ever happening in New York. And then you have Joe Biden, you have Bill Clinton, and you have Barack Obama. That's how you know they're in trouble and they're in pain. When you have Slick Bill on stage trying to raise you money, you are on the struggle bus.
Yeah.
And that contrast that we saw was beautiful. That's what we have to continue to do for the next few months, and we're going to be fine in November.
That's a good point, because the truth is, and you know this, ex-presidents are the kind of guys you trot out in late October. You know what I'm saying? When you have your closer in the second inning, you're in a bad spot.
Right. A I mean, bro, we're still in March Madness, right? We've been down to the Final Four.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's no, but it's and it's so true. It's like, you know, they're not supposed to be out right now. They're not. They're not. Like, you keep hearing all this heat about, like, he wants a Taylor Swift endorsement. They need that in October. Like, they get it now, and it's just a waste.
That's like bringing out Mariano Rivera halfway through the first.
Yeah, we're in a bad. We got to get these three outs, Rivera, and then we'll figure it out from there. So, I mean, I know. Who are they going to bring out the campaign? Because it's all downstream now. There's nobody to bring out. It's not good.
Well, Jimmy, I want to say this, too. My comms director is a genius. His name is Matt Topolsky. He's a great man. He's one of my best friends. We can walk into them at the same time. He just sent me a tweet he wants to release and put out right now. It's mean tweets, world peace, sovereign borders, good economy, cheap gas, Merry Christmas, Happy Easter, America first. Sign me up. Sincerely, America.
Well, I personally...
Isn't that beautiful?
In the interest of equal time, the level of bigotry you've just displayed... Because that's the response.
You know, Jimmy, I'm the black face of white supremacy. Yeah. You know
that. Wesley Hunt is on the line, noted white supremacist. Well, that's, listen, there is a comical aspect to what's about to go on this summer, because Trump is going to have a vice president. Okay. And whether he's smart and it's a Wesley Hunt or a Byron Donalds or it's somebody else we're not talking about, hooray. But the point is, whoever it is signing up for the same job, which is, regardless of your race or your gender, you are going to be running as a woman-hating white supremacist.
Right. No matter what, right?
Yeah, it doesn't even matter. They've written the speeches. They've booked the campaign ads. And I find it so fascinating that it's basically like a Mad Lib now, where you just insert the name into the line of attack. But is that not what's coming?
No, that's exactly what's coming. And you know what I love about this, though? There are so many excellent candidates, and DJT is going to pick the right person for the job, and it's going to be an America First patriot. That you are right. They are going to get called a slew of things by the left, but it's going to be somebody that can take it and still put America first and have the bosses back. Uh-huh. That's it. Well, and the good thing about our country is, guess what? We have a bench. Yeah. The Democrats have Oscar the Grouch. I mean, that's literally like they're like best bet, right? It's like Biden, Kamala, and then Oscar the Grouch.
But,
and so we are in a very good position for now and for the future.
But to be fair, it's no longer politically correct to call him a grouch. You'd have to say like a down-spirited citizen.
Oscar.
Yeah.
Oscar. That's hilarious.
Oscar, the downtrodden, struggling worker, is
Oscar,
I think.
Oscar, the emotionally unprivileged.
Oh, I love it. We're talking to Representative Wesley Hunt, and it's so funny. Well, I don't have a plan, but I definitely know they do in terms of what the left's going to bring our way. And I just think it speaks to a level of desperation that's worked in the past, because in the past they've had success labeling anyone who doesn't agree with them as some type of a hateful bigot. But what you're noticing now is like male black voters are not responding. They're walking away from the Democratic Party because they must see the grift in that, you know, they're not getting any improvement that's tangible to the quality of their life. And when you speak to the point Obama made about Trump not looking out for the little guy, is there anything that screws the little guy harder than what Biden's doing at the border when it comes to unemployment and crime and drugs and everything in between?
President Trump is going to have the best day amongst black male voters in the history of this country for the Republican Party. That's not even close. The canary in the coal mines are the words used by like 50 Cent and Ice Cube. They are talking about policy. Mm-hmm. They don't care about race. Mm-hmm. They are looking at the last 4 years and realizing that we are not better off today than we were under President Trump. Mm-hmm. That is it. And the racial grift and the racial divide that the left continues to perpetuate is no longer resonating, because we realize that we live in a meritocracy. America has come a long way. But, brother, you know, I talk about my district all the time. Mm-hmm. I am a black man that is a congressman for a white majority district that President Trump would have won by 25 points, and I won by 30. I'm a black man being judged by the content of my character, and I get to represent these people proudly regardless of my skin color. Mm-hmm. That's the America today, mm-hmm. and black men are waking up to that. that. Mm-hmm. And I am telling you, this is going to be epic. And I cannot wait to watch MSNBC has a complete meltdown when this happens again. I mean, I'm not watching Fox or anything like that. I am watching Rachel Maddow. Let's go. I can't wait.
I don't normally endorse guests encouraging my audience to watch other channels. But yes.
But, in this case, brother, yeah. I mean, the drinking game involved there and watching them, you have to take a shot for every time somebody cries. You're going to be wasted by the next show.
Well, the one problem is that if he wins, and I would expect him to, they're probably, because they're so committed to this grift, that if Trump is declared the winner, they're probably going to claim they have to go off the air and hide in a bunker because we're all about to die. Like, they don't break character. You know what I'm saying?
No, they don't.
They don't break character. Like, they're still carrying on with every one of these things Trump has been indicted for is pretty much a scam. There's not a respectable legal scholar that disagrees with that. But they've still kept up the grift. They're like, well, Trump's getting preferential treatment. I'm like, dude, getting indicted 91 times is not preferential in anyone's book. You know what I'm saying?
You are absolutely correct. And you know how well it works? Mm-hmm. It works so well that President Trump has mounted the greatest political comeback in the history of this political party, and basically maybe in politics that we've ever seen, especially in modern life, in its modern lifetime. And what he has done is come back from the doldrums to win 23 out of 25 states from the very beginning in our primary, and he is our nominee, and he is going to win in November after everything they've done to this man for the past 4 years. That's how effective they are. At the end of the day, if you are a conservative, remember this. People have to live in these policies. I don't care how much Democrats stick together. I don't care how much the media is against us. People, everyday Americans, have to live with this crap. And that's why President Trump is doing so well, because they are turning their backs on socialism, open borders, the worst economy we've seen in my lifetime. And potentially, we are on the verge of World War III. We want that all to go away, and we know one man can get it done. And it doesn't matter what Democrats do or say. We're going to win overwhelmingly on November the 5th.
Spoken like the white supremacist you are.
Wesley
Hunt, we love you, man. We'll be in touch. We'll talk TV, all the stuff. You're the best, man. Have a great week.
Can't wait, brother. See you soon. Thank you, brother.
My man, the great Wesley Hunt from the great state of Texas. There he goes. There we go back after this.
You're hanging out with Jimmy Failla on Fox Across America.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Here's some big news for the comedy fans in the audience. It is official. I tell you things on this show way before my TV audience, way before the internet, way before social media. I have not even tweeted this yet, but it is now official. I am coming to Colorado Springs. Colorado Springs. I'm so excited. I can't even get the words out. July the 13th, I will be at the Pikes Peak Event Center. This is a big deal. Tickets go on sale this Friday, April 5th at 10 a.m. It's July 13th. Your main man, Jimmy Failla, at the Pikes Peak Event Center in Colorado Springs.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Colorado is home to the greatest vacation I ever took with Jenny and Lincoln. We had a phenomenal. The first year I started here at Fox, I was a writer for Kennedy Show. And we went to Glenwood Springs. They have this outrageous amusement park that's, you know, 14,000 feet up on a mountain. It's insane. And we rented a Mustang convertible and beat the pants off of it. We just had the best time driving along these cliffs, these mountaintop roads. It was basically a week of me and Lincoln laughing and Jenny screaming at us to look at the road. That's basically how the week went.
He's a lousy dad, but he's right.
So I'm so excited. I haven't been back since. And this is like, oh man, if you talk about a show I'm actually really, really looking forward to, and I love all of them, but Colorado is near and dear to my heart. And we're going to have a very special guest in attendance at that night show that I am not at liberty to promote, but it is confirmed because she's going out to lunch with my family before the show. It's a whole frickin' to-do. It's July 13th. It's the Pikes Peak Event Center. It's in Colorado Springs. The tickets are on sale this Friday, April 5th, and you can get them at foxacrossamerica.com. Now, the other thing you can get in the next hour is a grown-up talk with Jason Chaffetz, who is coming by, to discuss Wow, of all the people in the world, our old pal Chris Wallace is trying to build on one of my proposals. This past weekend on Fox News Saturday Night, I proposed to comedian Mike Vecchione that we might have a way to fix the election and make politics more interesting. And, well, Chris Wallace has responded with maybe a seconding of that motion that he thinks might be effective to get the voters engaged. And we'll certainly play it in the next hour. And we will, of course, get to your calls, texts, tweets, and carrier pigeons, because that's what we do on this show. It's, you know, I say all the time, man, it's a safe space for cool people. You don't have to agree. You could disagree. Okay, the Constitution, greatest document ever drawn up, was drawn up by people who didn't agree with each other. That's why they drew it up the way they did. So the point is, put on your powdered wig, get out your feathered pen, and write in whatever the hell you want in the next hour. You'll still be welcome here, because it's not a conservative talk show. It's an American talk show, damn it.
Freedom!
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, yes, it is, girlfriend. And we are fired up in this hour to have a grown-up talk about all things America. That's where you live, odds are. You have American privilege. You live in the greatest country the world has ever known in the greatest time there's ever been to be alive. Does it feel that way every day? No, we are not playing championship ball. But we can certainly get this show back on the road with your help. 888-788-9910. If you'd like your voice heard in this audio safe space for cool people, where you can agree, you can disagree. It doesn't matter. We don't care. The only rule we ever have...
We're not going to sit here and listen to you bad mouth the United States of America.
That's it, man. Do whatever the hell else you want. We don't care. But, you know, have a little perspective. Because if you live here, you are so lucky. And it's hard to remember that on a day-to-day basis because our politics have gotten so divisive. But that's what we're here to be, a port in the storm. That's why I'm always on the road doing comedy. If you want to see me live this summer, whew, my goodness gracious, the amount of cities I'm about to hit between now and July, all of those tickets available at foxacrossamerica.com. And we just added a date, July 13th, at the Pikes Peak Event Center in Colorado Springs. Those tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can get them at foxacrossamerica.com. But as we get on the air right now, I'm going to do my regular 9 to 5, which is hosting a damn radio show. Now, one of the things that we do week in and week out as we cover the presidential election is we find, almost painfully so, we put in the effort to try to make this general election enjoyable. You know, we're always telling jokes and playing dopey sound bites, stuff of that nature. By the way, I got a great mug, just an outrageously good mug of all the drops we play on this show. By Melissa Berg, I believe. Melissa Berg gave this to me Friday night in Helena. It's amazing. Like, really, like, truly meant the world to me. Like, I was touched by it. It was epic. And we'll have more on that as the week goes on, because I got a lot of ideas. I do. I have a real ideas right now in my little community college brain.
That can't be good.
It rarely is it. But we'll get into that as the week goes on. But the point is, you know, as we're sitting here having this conversation, I really try to be a port in the storm, you know, because politics is so divisive. So one of the questions I've constantly been asking guests on my Saturday night TV show is, you know, find a way to make this thing interesting. Tudor Dixon, if you remember, proposed having a mud wrestling event.
I love it when you talk dirty.
I didn't talk dirty. That was Tudor Dixon who said have a mud wrestling event.
Get her out. Get her out of here.
I disagree, Mr. President. A lot of people actually said, let her stay. Nobody wanted to get her out of here for proposing that. But another thing we got into this past week, and I was talking to Mike Vecchione. Now, Mike Vecchione is a phenomenal comic. He opens for Nate Bargatze a lot. They recently performed right here at Radio City, right across the street, New York City, same place. They had that absurd fundraiser last Thursday. It was Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, and Joe Biden.
I don't remember that ever happening.
No, he was there. We've got the video proof. We might even circle back to some of it in this hour. But Mike Vecchione's a phenomenal comic. He opens up for everybody and, of course, headlines himself all over the country because he is as respected as you can be as a comedian. And that's who I'm trying to book on my show. People who are just truly great. They don't care about politics. I mean, they could have a side, but they use comedy to make you laugh because that's what it's supposed to do. Comics are supposed to make you laugh. Strippers are supposed to make you randy. That's how it's supposed to work.
Oh, yes. I've read about that in the Bible.
But the point is, okay, I proposed something to Mike Vecchione that seems to have resonated with other members of the media. Here is a clip from this past Saturday show, clip 31.
I have been pitching comics on the idea of settling the election with a roast battle. If you're Republican, you line up and write the jokes for the Trumpster. If you're Democrat, write them for Biden. If you're an independent, maybe write them for RFK Jr.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you think we could save the country a lot of time and maybe make the election enjoyable if we just did that?
I think that that's what it's come down to. I think it just burns one way or another.
It's that anyway.
Yes, it's that anyway. I think if the guy just says nothing, smokes a cigarette through the question, and then just puts it out of his hand and then just walks away, he wins. Whoever does that wins.
Mike Vecchione is voting for Dice, by the way. It's just so clear.
Oh!
And the thing you said, you were a Dom Herrera guy. Dice all the way.
Shout out to Dom Herrera, shout out to the Dice Man, and of course a shout out to Mike Vecchione, who is correct. It's already become a roast battle. One of the things I say a lot is we're no longer running for president, we're running for class president, which is the main reason why Ron DeSantis had such a rough time.
There's a slob. There's a real slob.
No, ma'am. I for the record, I stand by DeSantis. Okay, he got run out of town. Ron DeSantis would be a phenomenal president. Phenomenal. You could elect him tomorrow and go to bed. He's a real leader in that he doesn't care how his values poll. He doesn't care how his ideas play in the media. He does what he thinks is right and best for the country, or in his case, the state he's living in. And that is the true definition of leadership. It's doing what you think is best, regardless of the blowback that you're going to receive. Now, Trump does that to an extent as well. He absolutely does. Okay, Trump probably commits more unforced errors than DeSantis, if only because of, you know, the fact that, you know, he's going to veer off script wildly from time to time.
This guy will say anything.
To be fair, that clip could apply to either of us. Yeah, I'll say anything, but so will Trump. And people like that, and they find the candor refreshing. But Trump is galvanized the electorate by running for class president as hard as he actually runs for president. He is entertaining. He is funny. Okay, in 2016, he gave out Lindsey Graham's home phone number. He was giving kids helicopter rides at the Iowa State Fair. He called Ted Cruz's wife a dog. I mean, not ideal. Marco Rubio. Do you remember Marco Rubio called out his manhood? And Trump, on an actual presidential debate stage, said my hands are small, with the implication being that something else is small. Believe me, we don't have a problem. I mean, it's crazy. It's out to lunch. But people liked it. It resonated because people don't need carefully curated sound bites by people who say the right things and do the wrong things. That's what we're learning. Social media created a world where for a lot of people, what you say is more important than what you do. But for most people, the ones with common sense, your actions obviously speak a lot louder than words. So, for instance, this past Thursday when Obama was doing his big bring down the house speech at the Radio City Music Hall fundraiser, he thought what he said was good when he declared that Biden was more in touch with the little guy than Trump. Here it is, clip two.
And at the end of the day, what you want, not just out of your president, but out of your government, is people whose values are rooted in wanting to make sure everybody gets a shot. And that's who Joe Biden is. And so who is it that really sees you and cares about you? I'm pretty confident the other guy doesn't. This guy does. That's why we're going to have to fight so hard.
That was embarrassing.
Was it ever? So a room full of people who just paid $100,000 to get in, applauded Joe Biden for being on the side of the little guy.
I'm surrounded by idiots.
We are, if you were in Radio City this past Thursday. On the day Trump flies into New York to attend a cop's funeral, Biden is across town charging $100,000 to hang out as the guy who's a champion of the little guy.
Sell crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
Okay, but again, this is what politics is. It's saying the right things, but doing the wrong ones. Like opening the border is the wrong thing if you care about the little guy, because there's no greater threat to the labor force in this country than an open border. Cheapens the value of labor. Okay, then you talk about the record of fentanyl poisoning deaths killing the little guy. And you talk about the migrant crime we're witnessing, which is horrific. Okay, you talk about the woke bail reforms that Biden has championed because he's kowtowing to every locally elected DA funded by George Soros. And you realize Biden is really screwing a little guy. But the point is, in a world where what you say is more important than what you do, having Barack Obama on stage saying Joe Biden cares about the little guy traditionally is something that would work for the Democrats.
You gotta do better than that.
In this day and age, you do, because people kind of see through the scam now. That's why Biden is losing so much support with blacks and Latinos. Minorities are fleeing Joe Biden.
Do you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump and you ain't black?
Yeah, apparently the white race is growing larger. People are now transracial because, according to Biden's reasoning, we've got a lot of people losing their black card right now. But one of the other areas Biden is trying to compete is in that realm of entertainment. That's why he was sitting down with Colbert and Obama and Bill Clinton. Okay, is he's trying to be affable and witty. Okay, and they know he can't be trusted to answer live questions on his own for an hour, so they trotted out two other presidents. But do you realize how desperate Biden has to be bringing in ex-presidents in late March, which is when this occurred? Okay, when you're running for president, you don't bring out your heaviest endorsements till like 2 weeks before the election. They join you on the trail to give you additional momentum for the stretch run. Okay, if you see Bill Clinton and Barack Obama in March.
Oh, Lordy Lord, he's desperate.
And to be clear, Biden is desperate and Bill Clinton's desperate to get out of the House. if we're being double clear.
This is not okay.
But here is Chris Wallace over at CNN asking if Biden can out-entertain Trump in the race for class president. Clip 8.
Biden raising more than $25 million, adding to his growing war chest, which far outpaces Trump's. But money is not Biden's only weapon. The president sharpening his personal attacks, going after Trump the way Trump belittles his opponents.
I'd be happy to play. I told him this before. I said, I'll give you three strokes if you carry your own bag.
Kyra, when it comes to personal insults and trolling, can Biden out-Trump Trump?
Can Biden out-Trump Trump?
The answer would be no.
No, the answer would be no. And to be clear, Biden has a staff of about 50 writers. You know who writes for Trump? Trump.
Correctamundo.
Trump runs his own Twitter account. Biden couldn't run his own Twitter account. If someone tweeted the way Biden talked, it would look like a cat walked across the keyboard. When it comes to the words that come out of this guy's mouth.
Make sure the television, make sure you have the record player on at night, the phone.
You know, not the best, not the most concise speaker in the world. But here's Kara Swisher's response, clip 9.
I don't know if he has to out-Trump Trump. He has to be Biden. I think he's actually quite good at it. He was good at it the last election cycle, the come on, man, the thing that he does.
Oh, God.
So I think he's just got to be genuine to himself when he's doing it. And that was a good dig. And this is where politics is with Trump. You have to sort of meet him there. And Trump could be rather thin-skinned when it happens. And maybe he'll hit back. But I think Biden's pretty good at it. Actually.
What would you do with a brain if you had one?
She said Biden's come on, man, was a hit in the last election?
You don't have a clue.
Are you dead serious? First, let me be very clear. No one in the history of presidential politics has ever voted for Joe Biden. In 2020, they were able to get people who voted against Donald Trump. Joe Biden's biggest asset on the campaign trail was the fact that he wasn't on it. They used COVID as a justification to keep him off the campaign trail. They were trying to sell you on the idea that he was more responsible. He wasn't holding large rallies. But here's a newsflash. It's pretty easy to not hold large rallies when you can't get large crowds.
Oh, you're right.
And when you're right, you're right. And you're always right.
I mean, that's like saying, yeah, well, Jimmy was responsible because he prepared for his show this weekend instead of shacking up with Cindy Crawford. Well, here's a newsflash. I didn't have a shot with Cindy Crawford.
That is correct.
Okay, well, you never know. The way the show's going, I kid. But understand, the reason they're placing so much emphasis, and that's Chris Wallace over at CNN talking about Biden possibly out-trumping Trump. And the reason he's taking on that metric is because they know the policy ship has sailed. Like, Joe Biden is a terrible president. Barack Obama is an idiot. Okay, he has benefited tremendously from the fact that for his entire political life, he has hit at Coors Field. Now, for those of you who don't follow sports, when the Colorado Rockies burst onto the scene, hey, I'll be in Colorado, July 13th, Pikes Peak Event Center. Tickets on sale this Friday. How's that for a shameless plug? But when the Colorado Rockies burst onto the scene, they all had inflated home run numbers because they were playing at a higher altitude at Coors Field. So when you got up to the plate, the wind was always blowing out. Obama, in his political life, has always been hitting at Coors Field because the entirety of the media has always been tripping over their you-know-whats to endorse whatever bad idea he had. Oh, he's giving $50 billion in cash assets to the biggest state sponsor of terrorism in the world. Yay, said the media.
The media is a bunch of losers.
Totally. Oh, the Affordable Care Act is going to force people to buy health care for people who don't want to, driving up premiums 300%. Yay, said the media.
The media is a bunch of losers.
Okay, and now that same media, okay, is out there cheering on Biden and cheering on Obama for being in favor of the working class as they charge $100,000 for the privilege of hearing what they have to say, knowing they say this on the same day. Trump is on the cover of most local newspapers for supporting a dead cop while Biden's busy shaking down elected officials and elite donors for $100,000.
That's why I don't read the newspaper, because it's garbage. And the editor that let it come out is garbage.
You're riding around with America's cabbie.
Taxi! Taxi!
You're hanging out with Jimmy Failla on Fox Across America.
Oh, girl, it is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. We're going to be talking to Jason Chaffetz. Here is Eliana Johnson. She is over on CNN.
CNN is the worst.
And she's, when you talk about the adults in the room, she's the one who tells Biden not to keep up with Trump. This in the insult department. Here it is, clip 10.
Biden staffers are reportedly test marketing various insults like broke Don and low energy Don, both of which I think are kind of weak. And the question I have, what do we think of the chances that Biden or staff can come up with a killer nickname like Crooked Hillary? And should he even try?
Don't think it's a good idea. Look, Trump has shown that nobody can outdo him at this game, but you can tell that the Team Biden feels the need to keep the attention on Trump. And they know that to the extent Trump is dominating the headlines, they can keep the attention on him and not talk about the Biden administration's record. That is good for him. I'm sorry, though. Calling him old and feeble is not going to make up for the fact that their own guy is old and feeble. That's a losing argument.
I admire your honesty.
Did you hear CNN try to push back on that, though, the woman at the end? But it moves the attention. You're wrong.
Have you ever had a checkup?
Listen, there's a poll out today. I read it to you before. Okay, this is the most insane thing I've ever heard. Okay, this is real. Okay, the poll says just 38% of voters think Joe Biden will live to the end of a second term. Okay, live. Okay, which means you've lost the old and feeble argument in a landslide, which is how you're probably going to lose the real argument if they keep going down this trajectory. We'll get into it with Jason Chaffetz when we come back on Fox Across America. Oh, girl, it is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. When I last saw this next guest, I was staring into my laptop and attempting to communicate with him while he guest hosted the Sean Hannity Show. And joining me now, proof that we made it through the Odyssey alive, the great Jason Chaffetz returns to the show. Hey, man.
Jimmy, always good to be chatting with you. Always better when we're, you know, states away from each other.
Well, listen, the one thing the Hannity producers didn't bargain for is in putting me on the air, literally up until the second I walked on the stage, when you and me said goodbye, I walked onto the stage. Like, I actually was looking at you through the camera and heard the house announcer say my name, slammed the laptop, ran out there, is I was dressed on Hannity the way I would walk onto a stand-up stage, which is a little different than how you normally dress on Hannity.
Now, we give you some credit for being out in the Rocky Mountains, for, you know, for being out in Montana, right? That's where you were. You had some of your New York Western gear, as I would call it, on, and you looked the part. You know, you can get away with that. I don't know that Brett Baer's able to pull that off.
Take that, Brett Baer! The fashion police would write him a ticket for sure.
Yes.
No, I've clearly managed to defund the fashion police over the course of my time here at Fox. But I bring up the police, Chaffetz, because the one clip I've harped on a lot today, because I wasn't on the radio Friday, I was on my way to Montana, is Obama did this fundraiser with Biden at Radio City Thursday night. Okay. And the choice soundbite that I pulled that really got me is Obama saying, you know, he supports Joe Biden because Biden cares about the little guy. Trump clearly does not. He's saying this on a day where Trump has flown into New York to attend a funeral for a cop, and Biden is at $100,000 a head get together, because nothing says I'm here for the little guy like $100,000 cover charge.
Yeah, it really is stunning how tone deaf they were, because, you know, a president is given every asset that America has, from Marine One to Air Force One to a basic telephone. And yet there was no call, no visit. You could have easily done both.
Yep.
Massapequa is, what, 40 miles away, if that? It's just not even. You could get there, and as a president, it's not like, hey, we better check the traffic and see if we can get there and back.
There's none. Yeah, you can get there in 30 seconds. Well, I only bring this up, okay, because I harped on this a lot at the beginning of the show, is because, you know, you were in Congress, okay? You've been around, you know, an Obama White House and stuff of that nature, okay? I have this theory, like, it's not even a theory. I think Obama's really bad at this. And, of course, the media has always been so, you know, wholeheartedly behind every word that came out of his mouth, that I think they've kind of led him astray in the sense that, you know, he's like, you know the old adage about the ugly girl who's overconfident at the bar because she thinks she's much hotter than she is. I think Obama thinks his wisdom is a lot more solid than it is. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, he does. He has this arrogance and this cockiness that is permeating from him. And, you know, he always gets credit for being this great orator. And then you go back and you actually watch it. And, yeah, he's got some quippy lines. They just end up not being true. You know,
that's the point.
We're not the red states. We're not the blue states. We're the United States. And, you know, everybody cheers for that. Then it ends up being not true. And you think, yeah, maybe that wasn't a great speech because you didn't really live it out.
Then it ends up being not true.
If you like your doctor, you will be able to keep your doctor.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
Everybody applauds that. Of course.
Jason Chaffetz is on the line. But I always laugh because, like, if you think of the Iranian nuclear deal, if you know, which is disastrous. I mean, one of the reasons they're able to fund as many proxy attacks as they are against us in the region is, number one, that deal, and certainly number two, Biden's energy policy. Trump left the Oval with, and Iran had $4 billion in oil reserves. Now they're sitting on close to $70 billion, which makes it a lot easier to finance terror groups on the side, wouldn't you say?
Surprise, surprise. Are we shocked that that happened? Yeah. I mean, it really... Look, I think they're so tone deaf to this and the reality. And then at the same time, they're out there saying that they're saying we're getting rid of diesel trucks, by the way, just so you know, Wisconsin, Michigan and Georgia. And, you know, what's their plan?
Yeah, it's insane. And this is the consequence, though, of, like, when you have a media that's so far in the tank, like there's no intellectual curiosity whatsoever. there are potential consequences for that, because we didn't obviously call out the Iranian nuclear deal. They cheered that, just the way they cheered like the Paris Climate Change Agreement, and no one ever acknowledged the fact that it was non-binding, which meant that China was going to keep on polluting. If anything, they were going to increase pollution, which means we were hurting our own economy in the name of nothing, because we can't actually positively impact the environment if China's not on board.
You know, one of my favorite moments, and this is a parallel to what you're saying. I'm not ignoring what you're saying here, Jimmy, but one of my favorite Trump moments is when he went out and visited with Kim Jong-un in North Korea.
Yeah.
Like, he goes right into the lion's den, right? He just goes right after it. Meanwhile, Biden's over there, you know, making sure the Iranians have their money, making sure the Chinese people, you know, the key leaders aren't on the sanctions list. Let's appease all these dictators. We tread lightly. Oh, we'll take a little shot at Bibi Netanyahu. Oh, we want to make sure the Hamas people are okay.
Yep.
And North Korea, not a peep. Meanwhile, Donald Trump says, hey, I'm going to form a relationship with this guy because, you know, he can help blow up the world. Maybe we ought to know him.
Yeah, maybe, you know, the old keep your friends close, keep your enemies closer. Biden's going this other way, though, because you're right to say they're alienating friends.
He doesn't know what way he's going. Come on, Jimmy.
Chaffetz.
That's too easy.
Shots at the sharpest president we've ever seen in our lifetime.
You know, John Stewart, I'll give John Stewart some credit. The guy does make me laugh. He's like, so all these people come out and say all these great things about Biden and the energy and enthusiasm. And he's like, can we put that on video somewhere?
Yeah.
You know, we got television that you could put that on. But you know what? I read this poll. I think we were going to talk about it. Like, very few Americans think he would even live if he got reelected, Joe Biden got reelected.
Insane. So it's 38% of Americans think he lives through a second term, which means if you're voting for Biden, you're voting for a President Kamala Harris. That was Nikki Haley's line of attack. It didn't really land for her the way it might help Trump in the general, because the reality is nobody wants Kamala Harris to be president.
No.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine?
I mean, remember, she was polling at, I believe it was eighth place, Jimmy, going into January or so of the presidential. Sorry, my date's not specific here. And in California, she was polling at eighth. Andrew Yang was doing better than she was doing.
Could you imagine? I mean, when you really think about where she was, I mean, you know, and that was in, as you said, her home state. And, you know, obviously she has this problem with like being this inauthentic person. But she also, like Biden, like Obama, they're kind of hurt by the press because the press is building them up. And I think the press would help them if they asked a tough question once in a while, because they'd force them to improve at what they do. But instead, if you remember, they ran this piece about Kamala and how she wears Converse to all of her events and she's cool and she's hip and she's a girl boss. Yet at the time they were writing these puff pieces, her staff was resigning on multiple occasions because no one wanted to work for her because she's a monster. But they didn't want to talk about it. It's like, think about this, okay? Not to hog the mic. But the Affordable Care Act, okay, it was obviously, you know, slandered as Obamacare because you guys wanted to give Obama the bill. But I think in hindsight, it would have been more effective to call it the Affordable Care Act just to justify what the act did to the cost of health care versus its claim that it would make it more affordable, because premiums have gone up like 300% because of this act.
Yeah, I mean, just look at your own health care situation. Costs go down? Were you able to keep your same doctor? Is everything...
Nope.
No, it didn't work out for so too many people like that.
Yeah.
And this is the fundamental problem. I saw this other poll, Jimmy, that it's got some weight to it. 40% of America can't name a single achievement that Biden and Harris have accomplished in their 3+ years as president and vice president.
Now, to be clear, though, that's because these days 40% of America doesn't speak English. It's a different border these days, Chaffetz. I don't know if you got the memo. I can't. But it's true. And there is nothing to hang your hat on, because the things they consider victories, nobody else does. Like saying we spent $1 billion on the climate, nobody cares. I don't support Putin on any level, neither do you. But the American people don't see Ukraine as a deliverable. They don't. I mean, it doesn't, you know, mean we should just give up and let Putin have his way. But they don't care. And then everything else they talk about in terms of COVID spending and giveaways is not a deliverable. So that's why they're running on, you know, Trump is Hitler and, you know, whoever he, you know, I was talking to Wesley Hunt about this. Whoever the vice president is, they're signing up for the same job. No matter who they are, they're going to be called a white supremacist who hates women. And and it could be a black woman, could be the VP. That's what's coming her way.
But, you know, remember when she got with those child actors and told us about the wonders of the moon?
Yeah.
And how great that was? And contrast that with, say, maybe Mike Pence, where they got to talk about the Space Force and they created this new thing to protect and defend America. She's got scripted actors and just can't even pull it off. I recognize that vice presidents have to do hard, difficult things. But showing up at funerals,
yeah.
You know... And she was supposed to be our border czar, but she can't name a single accomplishment where she's bitter. She's supposed to be our artificial intelligence expert.
She's claiming people are coming here because of climate change. Could you imagine how insulting that is to anyone's intelligence, let alone these people and the real needs they face, that they're sitting around in corrupt countries that are run by drug cartels going, you know, I'd love to stay, but the weather's going to be weird in 50 years, honey, so let's get out of here.
But, you know, the Mexican president, Obrador,
yep.
Obrador, you know, for $20 billion, he can solve that. So should maybe think that one through, Jimmy.
It's crazy. But you know what jumped out at me the hardest of everything that's been said in this back and forth is it takes me back. Because when Kamala did that thing about going into space with the child actors, I remember I was talking, I did a hit on Harris Faulkner's show about this. And I remember the thing that popped at me, and it just resonated in my brain because you said it. And I hadn't thought this in since the 2 years since it happened. Okay, the idea that they had to pay children to talk to her about space, which is the most exciting thing in the world to a little kid, but they couldn't even get a little kid, a civilian child, excited to talk about space with this woman. They had to pay children to act excited to talk about space. That really does speak to her being a loathsome person.
I just don't know anybody that's excited to go meet with her. Put her somewhere out in the heartland, put her anywhere and say, hey, you want to come hear a speech? I would love to see how many people actually showed up.
So are you saying Kamala would not headline the Helena Civic Center before going on the Sean Hannity show?
I don't think she would headline it. I'd be fascinated to see who she thought the opening act would be. And I would gladly, if I were guest hosting again, be happy to have her on Hannity at any time or point. Yes.
Ah, Chaffetz. Well, listen, this is a really fabulous bookend to what was the strangest weekend of my life. And it means a lot that you could be a part of it. But it is. It's a media bookend. It opened with you on Hannity.
I'm sure you nailed it. I'm sure you nailed it. And you certainly nailed the outfit. If you can picture that.
Woo! Spoken like a man who hasn't read my emails from wardrobe this morning. I kid. You're the best, Chaffetz. I'll talk to you soon, brother.
Thanks, Jimmy.
The great Jason Chaffetz. God, we love him on this show. And if I were to tell you what a magical mystery tour I had on the road this weekend, my goodness, the amount of flights, the amount of people, the amount of selfies. I didn't drink. I just didn't really sleep. And it was an odyssey. From the two-gate airport in Helena, Montana, it has two gates. It's not the biggest, which I loved. It was easy to get in and out of and get out of. But all the connecting flights, I spent a lot of time in Salt Lake City, the Spokane airport. I was in Spokane airport. I was in the Seattle airport. I was in a lot of rental car agencies. I was in a private cigar bar at one point. An additional bar, all kinds of wild chicanery went on because there ain't no party like a Fox Across America party. But it began with Chaffetz, and until I got on the radio with him right now, it just dawned on me that there was no closure to this weekend until the guy that kicked it off got back on the air with me and had a little discussion. And now I feel as loopy now as I did then. So thanks for nothing, Chaffetz.
That's just how white folks will do you.
The show not afraid to call out both sides of the aisle.
He's the other side's worst nightmare.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Bottom of the ninth on Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. New dates added. We're coming to Jersey. We're coming to Jersey. June 22nd. We were at the Count Basie Theater down in Red Bank, New Jersey. I want credit. Everybody's always like, hey, when do you sleep? You got to get some rest. You're out there. You know what I mean? No. We're not slowing down. We're going even harder. I am an actual man of the people. I want to meet you. Okay, anyone listening right now that attended my shows in Helena, Montana or Spokane, Washington knows I did not go home until every single human being in that audience that wanted to meet me or get a signed book or take a selfie or even have me sign their boobs, as I did for a mom and two of their daughters. That's a real thing.
Hubba, hubba.
Okay, right now, to be clear, okay, the league lead in boobs signed at one event is 12. Okay, but Helena, Montana, despite being a smaller venue, despite being a smaller state by population, still did its best to close the gap on the actual breast signing, if you will. But Idaho Falls is still currently in the lead for signed breasts with 12 in one night. Six, the current record, the current second place silver medal holder out in Helena, Montana. And it's not to say we can't close that gap or even put another new city in the lead. That's one of the main reasons why we keep adding dates to the Everybody Calm Down Tour. I kid. But the point is, it's a loose crowd. And as wound up and as angry as the world is right now politically, what we offer is a true port in the storm. You will laugh yourself senselessly at these shows. And if I don't make you laugh, the audience will, because the Q&A is insane. So much so that we're working on a project here at Fox where we're going to start filming the Q&As for Fox Nation just so we can showcase just how funny our audiences are, because they're off the hook good. And we want you to be a part of it. So go get some tickets near you, foxacrossamerica.com. And in the bottom of the ninth, maybe as we round out the show today, you have maybe one laugh with me about all the ridiculousness we saw out of the Democrats while I was off the air on Friday. Here is Obama saying they're the party of the working class. One more time for the road, clip two.
And at the end of the day, what you want, not just out of your president, but out of your government, is people whose values are rooted in wanting to make sure everybody gets a shot. And that's who Joe Biden is. And so who is it that really sees you and cares about you? I can't. I'm pretty confident the other guy doesn't. This guy does. That's why we're going to have to fight so hard.
That is a lie.
He's pretty sure Biden cares, as Biden's charging a little guy $100,000 to get in. If I harped on this a lot today, I apologize. This wasn't even on the rundown for today's show. I just saw this clip in the elevator when I was leaving America's newsroom today. I saw Obama saying this on our air as I watched TV in the elevator. Oops, Obama sitting on stage with Bill Clinton and Joe Biden saying, "We care about the little guy."
Thank you for the education, gentlemen. We've just received a PhD in stupidity.
I promise you, there weren't a lot of little guys who had to change plans last Thursday night because they bought a $100,000 ticket to the Radio City Music Hall. But there were plenty of little guys, regular guys, heroes, at the funeral for an NYPD cop out on Long Island, Jonathan Diller. In any event, the show is over. Have some self-awareness, Barack Obama. Pay up and get out, the rest of you. Be a Republican, be a Democrat. Just don't be a...
I'm Guy Benson. Join me weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and guests. Listen live on the Fox News app or get the free podcast at GuyBensonShow.com.
Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.